Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How are you guys doing this evening? We want to thank you guys for voting us best place to worship. It is an honor that we get to serve God in this community, in this city, and be a part of what it is that He wants to do here in California, because it's just getting crazier and crazier each week, it seems like. And so it's amazing that you guys would be so kind as to vote us that best place, simply because I've been in this situation. There are people that will go to a specific city, and they'll type in churches in that area. And with your vote, it was basically just another step in the direction of people that are new here to this city, that they could join us in worship. And so just thank you again for being a part of that, if you were able to. And I just want to, right out the gate, I mean, I want to practice a little something, because that last song of worship, Sea of Victory, is just such an amazing song. That bridge where it says, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And I think just sometimes we can, we can just get caught up in the idea that the hand that we've been dealt, that's the only hand that we get. And God is limited to that hand. But in actuality, He can take it and He can turn it for good. And so wherever it is that you are at, whatever it is that you're going through, I just encourage you that when worship happens, or even at the end of service here tonight, the altar is available for you just to give your problems, your worries, your anxieties, whatever it is that has been consuming your thoughts, maybe consuming you physically, that you would just take it and give it to the Lord, because He will, through those moments where, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight, but in the moment where faith is then activated, works then come. And we see that the process of the two together. And so wherever it is that you're at, God is wanting to see a victory in what you're going through and where you're at and what you're doing. And He wants to do it with you. And so we're going to be in the book of Ephesians here tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to Ephesians chapter 1. Pastor Hector was teaching last week, and one of the points that he left us with that I thought was amazing, that I just kind of want to quickly recap, he left us with the idea or the question of what is your inheritance? And this idea of what is it that you have now as a believer, as somebody who is you know, firmly trying to follow the Lord and go after what it is His will for your life. What is it that we inherit? And so tonight, I do want to ask a couple of questions for you to kind of base your night off of. You know, what is it that we're here for? Why do we find ourselves here in this place? Are we here so that we could gain hope for wherever it is that we're at and what it is that we're going through? Is it simply just the strength to keep going? Because sometimes I think we need something to focus on. When we're here in church, when we're sitting, you know, the worship part is over, the singing, the music part is over. You know, now we're in the message portion. We're in the eulogy part. And well, what is it that God wants to speak to you? Because if we're not focused, then really anything can happen. And I want to share with you a story of when I was in the high school ministry, and we go to summer camp. Pastor Al mentioned it. You know, we have summer camp that we have, and I was involved in the high school ministry for I was volunteering for about 3 years. Then I was put in charge of the junior hires for 3 years, and then I was in charge of the high school ministry for about 4 years after that. So I spent a lot of time in youth ministry, and that's a lot of summer camps that you go to. I went to a handful of winter camps because we only did it for so long. But those summer camps, those those as a youth pastor, they really try to get it. Like they try to insult you to the best of their ability. There's like the youth pastor night where they bring the youth pastors up, and there's these opportunities for you to, you know, look like an idiot, basically, is what it is. And the kids just go crazy for it because then they'll be like, hey, who are you and where are you from? Tom, from VBF Bakersfield. And then our whole church just goes nuts. And it's a good, like, you know, you size up the other churches that are there. That's really what that is. And there are moments, though, in recreation when they allow the adults to play. It's usually the kids. And so as an adult, you're respectful. You're teaching them how to play. But then there was this one time, and it was this mud circular, like kind of like inner tube game. And you're supposed to go, run, grab them, bring them back to your area. Now, like any man, the lion's going to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a video for you to watch. Because here's what happened, okay? The kids said, Tom, go. And I'm like, well, I have to. Obviously, it's illegal if I don't. So then I'm there, and I'm freshly a father, okay? Something changes when you become a dad. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, kind of getting ready to go, and then one of my kids goes, my daughter's name's Scarlett, he goes, do it for Scarlett. And then I just got focused. And then tech room, if you can please play the video. I'm in a sleeveless blue shirt. Here I am. I grab the inner tube and I take it to the house, as the kids would say. Now, I'm not happy about this moment, but look how focused I am on the objective. My eyes never come off of the inner tube. But I cleaned that kid. So if we can gather our inner youth pastor and focus tonight like I did on that inner tube, because that's kind of what we need when we're here at church. We don't need to critique and we don't need to analyze. We just need to be focused on what it is that God wants to do and what God wants to speak to us. And so we're talking about something very, very unique in this book. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. And now the book of Ephesians is a book that is kind of trying to break it down practically how we are supposed to live as believers. It's trying to be practical. And as we're here, as we're focusing, if you're somebody who takes notes, which I highly encourage, because it's amazing when you go back and you look at what you wrote down a week ago or a few weeks ago, I got two questions that you could hopefully find an answer to tonight. The one question is to ask God, what does he want to say to me? If you write that at the top of your notes, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? And just leave it ready that when God uses me as this vessel, that then you go, okay, that's the thing that God wants to say to me. Second possibility is, what can I learn from tonight that makes me better? What can you learn tonight that will make you better? And these are prayers that I've been praying for tonight as well. It's an interesting position that I get to be put in. Because it would be nice, you know, if God spoke to you through worship, you already have your moment. If God's going to speak to you through this, then you have that to look forward to. Or maybe you're somebody who's supposed to get prayer before you leave here tonight. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Pastor Hector left us off in verse 14, so we're starting in verse 15. And it says this, for this reason, this is Paul writing, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, and of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And we're going to pause right there. For this reason, I too, verse 15, having heard of the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. So this church both loves God and the saints. Now, I grew up Catholic, so I always thought that saints were those really, really holy people that were like painted. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are the saints. You and I are the ones that are being referred to here. So this church in Ephesus not only had love for God, but also had love for the people that they sat next to in church. Now, something that's very interesting, for them to be so admired by Paul that he says, and as I pray, I make mention of you. This excites him so much. He goes, I make mention of you in my prayers. But then fast forward to the book of Revelation, and this is the same church that Jesus addresses and says, you have forgotten your first love. Something changed in the church. Maybe they made it too much about the people. Maybe they made it too much about reputation. But it can be a very, you know, your strength can also be your weakness. And it does have to follow in that order. You love God. You love people. Love God, Jesus tells us, and love people. Two most important commandments that we could ever follow. And through that, Paul begins to lay this out for us. And he says something very interesting. He says, for this reason, I too, comma. Well, what reason? It's what Pastor Hector talked about last week, but I want to read it in a different translation. This is from the Amplified Version, because sometimes it kind of just helps to break down some of these things. It's sometimes, I'm not an English major, but man, I feel like Paul has a lot of these run-on sentences. Like, add some punctuation, buddy. In verse 13, it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in him, you were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchase or possession, his believers, to the praise of his glory. Basically laying it out that the Holy Spirit has come and has sealed you. This is the first installment of, look it, I do love you. I am for you. It doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is what I've done to earn this. What I've done to choose you, what Christ has done on the cross. And I'm not trying to beat us up because I'm just like you. I'm just 3 feet, my feet are 3 feet off the ground, higher than yours. It's just, why don't we love each other the way that it talks about, especially in the book of Acts, where they were just in awe and wonder. It said that God would do signs and wonders in this in the gathering of the church, and they were just filled with it, so much so that every person was giving up of their possessions so that the church could use it to further the gospel. But then the offering comes around, and you're like, oh, of course they are asking for my money. Or maybe the worship's, you know, going a little bit longer and you're like, gosh, wrap it up. I'm not into this sappy stuff. And that's what happens from time to time. Some days are better than other days. But why don't we act that way? What has happened to the church? And I'm not saying every church. And I'm not saying we're an outlier and we're the only ones. I'm not saying that. But there are moments where I come into this place and I'm like, I want to be invisible. I'm going through some stuff. I'm not on my best behavior. I want to be invisible. Talking and just thinking about like how it is in a grocery line when you're you know, you're stuck in I don't know, you're in the fast lane, but someone didn't pay attention, so they have more than 15 items, and so now you're stuck and you're mad at them. And so you're sitting there and you're just kind of processing, maybe it's your bank account, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's what's going on in your life, and you feel like you're losing track of everything that you've ever tried to put your hands on. And then all of a sudden, like, you come back to reality and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, I know Jesus and everything's supposed to be fine. And there's people around me and there's supposed to be an opportunity here for me to help. And what happens is we just kind of get stuck in our own minds. We get extremely selfish. Or maybe we also just kind of forget who God is. You forget that he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, everywhere at once. You forget what he's capable of. I don't think it's of any fault of our own. If anything, I think it's a great blinder from the enemy. He just kind of makes you kind of take on the responsibility. No, you can do this. You're the man of the house. Do this. It's your job. No. Don't bring God into this. Don't pray with your wife over this. Don't pray with your kids. Don't apologize to your kids because you blew up on them. Don't do that. No. A man doesn't do that. When in actuality, that's exactly what a man does. Scripturally, men stand up. Scripturally, men are so much more than what the society and our world has painted them out to be. So how do we kind of correct this? I didn't give necessarily any points, but if I say anything that your heart jumps to, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the pastor's responsibility to pray for the church. It's not, it's ours. It's our responsibility to pray for every parent in here that's raising a kid in 2023. Every single one of us should be lifting up those that are raising the next generation, because it's hell. Like, that's where we're at right now. And it doesn't get any better because we stay quiet and we go, well, you got your problems, I got my problems. No. We are supposed to scripturally bear one another's burdens. We are. But I think sometimes, and I've heard this with, it might be millennials or it might be whatever generation is after the millennials, but I've heard that it's this idea that's been embedded within them that they leave it up to the professionals to take care of the things in their life. So what happens is, like, for an example, well, they're not the pastor, they're not the worship leader, so therefore they can't do those things. That's the mindset that's kind of been driven. And I wonder if that's the mindset that's been driven into our minds as well. Because I'll tell you, you know, I get this platform and sometimes I have the privilege of leading worship and it's great. So then when someone asks me, hey, what's something that I can pray for you, Tom? I start sifting through the categories that I think will still keep me at the holy roller status, but also show that I'm a little bit weak. Right? Because we like that reputation. We like to be seen in a certain light. Like, my kids are like asking me questions about like quantum physics and stuff. And I'm like, kid, come on. Like, no, it's not in this brain. You don't want to go to this brain. Like, my kids, when they add, but you want to still be the smartest. You still want to be the one that provides. You still want to have that reputation. You still want to maintain that. But that's just, it's just a lie from the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never be anybody's savior. We will never have all the questions. We will never have all the answers. And that's the beauty of God. He tells us that he uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You hear about the apostles writing and they're saying, like, we didn't come to you with elegant speech. We didn't come to you because we were smart. We didn't stupefy you with our language and our grammar. We just, something happened because the Holy Spirit was activated through us and you felt it just as much as I felt it. And that's what happens when we begin to pray for people. But if you're not putting yourself in a position to pray for people, and we fall into that lie, well, no, it's only Pastor Ron that can pray for somebody. It's only him. You guys, You kind of hear how crazy that is? He doesn't even know some of our names. How's he supposed to pray for us? Blanket prayer? Like, that's just No, we need the church. And if the enemy can stand in between like that empty seat and then that person that's right next to that empty seat, if the enemy can sit there and lie to you and say, no, that's for the prayer people up the front. You don't do that. What's that going to do to you when you're at home too? Oh, I don't have Pastor Ron's number. How am I supposed to pray over this situation? Isn't it crazy how the devil gets in like that? And what Paul is writing is he going, I see your love for God, but man, you have love for the church too. Ephesians, you guys, you're doing something so unique. Because I think one of the greatest tools that the enemy has is to make you feel like you don't have power. You know what's crazy? Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've been in the church long enough and you've heard of this study. I cannot remember the scientist's name to save my life. But there was a gentleman, I don't know how many years ago, I think in like the 80s, that did a test of words. He spoke words over water and froze them. And so words like love, he would say the word love to this water as it would freeze. And the crystals that it would form were beautiful. And then he spoke words of hate or negative words as it would freeze. And the words or the crystals were ugly. They were not uniform. They were all over the place. And he did this with a group of these. And you and I, we hear this and you're like, wow, that preaches so well. But then when you mess up or do something that you know, you're ashamed of, you just go, you stupid idiot. You idiot. Why did you do that? Why did you do that again? Why? You're not good. You are not worthy. You are not. And we do this to ourselves. And we're like 70% water. And we do this to ourselves, or we do this to our spouses and we can't figure out why our marriage isn't the way that we want it to be. We do this to our kids and we can't figure out why our relationship with our kids is estranged. We do this to the people around us. We can't figure out why we don't have any friends. And it's just like, if we're speaking it. But what if we were to believe that we truly do have the power? And even though, I mean, because anybody married in here, you know what it's like to still force yourself to be in that relationship, even though during that week period, man, he really made you mad. You maybe didn't love him in that 7-day period, but thankfully you didn't give up on it and you persevered and you're like, yeah, 50 years later, you're like, yeah, I love this guy. He's an idiot, but I mean, I love him. And that's what happens. What if we were people who believed not in our emotions, but in the power that God has given us? Because let's face it, the devil is never going to kill anybody. He's not. He's a liar who will try to convince you to kill your relationships, kill your job, kill any sort of potential and possibility that God wants to move through your life. That's what the devil is going to kill. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to isolate us. But I give, you know, right now I'm giving too much credit to the enemy. The enemy is a punk. Like, he really is. He loses. He knows he loses. He knows it. He knows scripture. He knows that he loses. So he's going to try everything that he possibly can. Majority of it is lies. And even if it isn't, if you're like, you're not worthy of Jesus' love. I know, but Jesus still saw me as worthy and wants me. Jesus is my advocate. Jesus goes before me to the Father and is my advocate. I have the Holy Spirit who Paul even says sealed us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've received the Holy Spirit, you are sealed. If you don't know what sealing means, think about like anything that you get from like the store that's like vacuum sealed that you need scissors to cut, and even that doesn't even work sometimes. That kind of sealed, that frustrating sealed, that by the time you get to that, you're like, I don't even want this thing anymore. This thing is so sealed, I cannot open it, and I therefore don't need it. There is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, that can take the love that the Father has for you and I away from him. There's nothing. And this is good news that the person next to you is going to need to be reminded of when you're sitting next to them in church. We need daily reminders of it. You can't put it on the professionals. You know Pastor Ron has his own personal problems? Who would have thought? He's got a wife, so there's marriage stuff sometimes. He's got kids, so there's kid stuff. He's got grandkids, so there's that. And that's not even to mention the thoughts that you think about yourself. You think he's just untouchable with those kinds of thoughts? I mean, if anything, the target on his back is bigger. And so we're going to wait for someone to pray for him. And God gives you that thought, I should be praying for Pastor Ron. No, I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that. What? And that's what Paul is so stupefied by. He says, your love for God and your love for the people. So what would that look like? For us, I mean, let's face it, we go through things. But the beauty of it is that on our good days, we can lift up those who are hurting around us. And then on our bad days, they will be there and they'll lift you up. But if you don't even know their names, what I should do that I won't do, because I'm going to put this on you, this ain't on me, like you should get to know the person you're sitting next to before you leave. I know, isn't that the worst? You're like, dang it, I'm going to hell if I don't. You're not. I don't know. I don't want anybody. That's like going to be a clip on the internet. One of the things that blows my mind, Scripture tells us that God delights himself in us. I'm not going to get to the passage. I think Pastor John will get to it next week. Oh, no, I did. I got to it. Can you put up verse 18, back room? It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. God's inheritance is through you and I. Now, an inheritance is supposed to be something good. Right? Like that's the Pastor Hector talked about it last week. I don't know what that little game was, but that's an inheritance that he got from his dad, and it reminds him of his dad, reminds him of good memories, reminds him of all these different things. It's a good thing for him. And this scripture is saying that God's inheritance is you and I. Think about you. You're like, me? Lord, me? It's me, though. It's the guy who has those thoughts. It's that selfish guy. It's that guy who, yeah, when he gets in a fight with his wife, is a little petty and acts like a child. Him. And you're excited that one day you and I will be in heaven and the new earth together? You look forward to that? Because for God so loved you and I. God so loved the kids that you were going to have. God so loved the parents that you didn't like them. He loved them. And he delights himself. And if you have kids, you know exactly what that means. When your kid runs around the house butt naked, you're like, oh gosh, put some clothes on. 3 years old. If they're 15, that's weird. But when they're three, that's totally appropriate. You're like, that is the cutest, our neighbors probably think we're weird, but put your clothes on. When just the very fact of a little naked baby is just making, you're like, ah, you're hilarious. I don't think God does that with us adults. He's probably for sure being like, put some clothes on, have some respect for yourself. But he delights himself in us. And my prayer is that we together would truly understand that even in the darkest moments. When we have messed up again, the same mess up, the same sin that you told yourself and God that you were never going to go back to, that you would remember, God, I know who I am. I'm better than this. I'm better than this. Not stupid, idiot, worthless, negative comment. God, I am better than this. I am better than this. You have set me apart. You have a room for me in heaven. And I am sorry that I'm acting like this knucklehead again. God, forgive me. Forgive me. I will be better from here on out. I will be better. And it reminds me of that moment when Jesus in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is talking to Peter. And he goes, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed that your faith would not fail. Check this next part out though. He goes, but when you return, strengthen your brothers. Wait a second, Jesus. You just prayed for his faith to not fail. But it sounds like he fails, and that's why he's got to come back. Something happened there with the faith side. The faith stayed intact. Peter was able to make the mistake and know that he's going to go right back to his brothers. So much so that when he sees Jesus off the shore, he doesn't have to wait for confirmation. He just knows and he jumps in the water. He goes, my Savior, he's here. Not this, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 stop paddling, stop paddling. No, 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 we can't go that direction. Jesus is going to be so mad right now. He's so mad. He's so mad. That wasn't Peter. He knew Jesus is taking me back. And he jumps in the water and goes before Jesus. And Jesus just has that crazy conversation with Jesus. And it's just, that's our God. He knows how it's all going to end. He knows that we're in progress of knowing him more and getting refined and being better. He knows that. So church, if we knew that and we lived like that, it would radiate off of us. That's why we've got to start by loving God. Because then it will radiate off of us and we'll begin to love those people. Because when you're in those good moments and you're happy and all these different things, people could rear end you and you come out and you're like, it's all right. It's fine. I didn't like the way it looked the other way. So you're good. There's just something different about you. But if we don't know who we are in God, it's going to be very hard for us to progress and love the people around us. It's not impossible, though. So my prayer for you, sincere prayer, and for myself too, is that we would get so saturated in the love of God before we come here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. We would get so saturated in the love of God that when we are here, it's like, God, confirm things to me. Hey, what's up? Nice to see you. Good. What's your name? Oh, very cool. That's a cool name. I like that name. I'm going to worship God. You let me know if you need anything. By the way, I'll tell you my name. It's blah, blah, blah. Hey, nice to meet you. Once again, I'll be worshiping over here. If you want to like interlock hands weirdly, let me know. Let's do it. It's, you ever have that happen? You're like, oh, that's weird. They worship like this. But if we were a church like that, people would just, the Holy Spirit would just be, it'd be insane. We wouldn't have enough seats. God wants us to be like that. He wants for us to know him, to love his people. Let's pray. If you would, bow your heads. There will be prayer people up at the front. If at the end you would like to, man, just maybe get something off of your chest or maybe just pass the baton so you don't got to carry this by yourself anymore. Father, I lift up everybody in this place and everybody under the sound of my voice that are online. Father, we so badly want to be like this Ephesus church. Maybe some of us don't know how or where to start. Show us how easy it is. You tell us that your yoke is easy, that the burden that you have for us is light. It's not complicated. Help us to know when you are speaking and how to follow it. Give us new ways of seeing the people next to us at church. Show us how we can love them, how we can care for them, how we can at least be friends with them. We need it. They need it. Our families need it. The city needs it. And if all that is in the way is our pride, God, please remove that from us. Remind us of the things that you've done in our lives where we go and that's our testimony when we tell people about what you've done. Remind us of that emotion that we felt when it happened. Remind us of the circumstances. Remind us of where we've been. Because you are so good and you have been moving so strongly. But the devil has lied to us for too long and we've let him, but it's not going to happen anymore. Give us boldness, Lord. Give us strength. Give us maturity. But not lose that childlike faith and our trust for you and our belief in you, because you can and are willing to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Thank you that you would want to move through us and strengthen those to come up and get some prayer before they leave if they need it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. All right, guys, have a great night. We'll see ya.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.